The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Angel Crane from Stamford, Connecticut. I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 336 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and of course our guest, Jeff Galloway, who continues with our series of questions from our listeners. In this, part three, Jeff continues with answering your listener questions, and the next question is read by Michelle. So enjoy.
All right. I think, are you reading the next one or me? Me. Okay. The next one is from Wanda Byram, who is also a Mickey Miler. She wants to know what your advice is on recovery between races. I believe I heard you mention you should not stretch.
Yes, Wanda, that is correct. There's, believe it or not, there's not a single study that my orthopedic consultants could find showing that stretching is beneficial for distance running, and a growing number of studies showing that stretching causes a lot of problems, including injuries, longer recovery, weaker muscles, and so I am going to absolve you of all guilt for not stretching. But all of that said, recovery starts immediately after the race. You want to reload your muscle glycogen by having a snack of 100 to 300 calories, depending on the length of the race, 100 calories if it's 4 miles or less, and 300 calories if it's 13 miles or more. And it needs to be taken within 30 minutes of finishing. It's best to have mostly simple carbohydrates. You want to avoid fat. You want to avoid too much of products that slow down the digestion. So the product that has worked best has been Pacific Health Labs products of Accelerade or Endurox, E-N-D-U-R-O-X-R-4. And a little secret, on the Pacific Health Labs website, you can get a discount on the product, ordering it from there, if you'll type in Galloway in the coupon code. So there's a little hint for you. But that is, you need to reload within 30 minutes of finishing. Keep walking for another 15 to 20 minutes. That helps pump the waste products out of the muscles. And then within 3 hours of finishing, it helps to soak your legs in a cool tub of water. And in most cases, you don't need to put ice in the tub. You just need to use the cool water tap. The temperature, according to a lot of indications and research, show that it needs to be 78 degrees or cooler. And most cool water taps that I have tested are cooler than 78 degrees. Soak for 15 minutes. That actually produces an amazing amount of extra help in allowing the muscles to recover. Best to walk around in the afternoon to keep that blood flowing. You certainly don't have to run the next day, but every other day after a race in leading up to the next one, it's good to start back with a little bit of running, more walking at first every other day. And then within a week, most people have been able to build back into what they were doing before.
I've never been a fan of stretching. Our next question, Jeff, comes from Rachel Opatowski, and this will sound familiar. She wants to know the best way to deal with the humidity in Florida, something we saw at the Wine and Dine race weekend.
It was incredibly warm and humid, particularly humid, which is very stressful on your system. And the reason it's stressful is that it raises your core body temperature more quickly and can really produce incredible amount of stress on your human organisms so that it starts shutting things down. And as we know, heat is dangerous. The point at which the core body temperature starts rising is around 55 degrees Fahrenheit. If there's high humidity, then it's going to rise more quickly because you simply can't release it. So the ways that you deal with it in training, heat and humidity that is to start your runs earlier. And if you can have a safe place to run in the dark, that's the smartest thing to do because the radiance of the sun causes a whole lot more adversity on your system. So running in the dark is going to take that issue away. And then as the body starts to increase its core body temperature and that starts rising, pour water over the top of your head and don't wear a hat. You lose about 70-75% of the body heat you can lose through the top of your head. So in cold weather, you want to wear a hat, and on hot weather, you do not want to wear a hat. And in hot weather, you want to pour that water over the top of your head. You want to drop back on the amount you're running and walk more frequently. So those who were running 90 seconds and walking 30 on a day that it is 65 to 70 degrees, you want to drop down to 40 seconds of running and 20 to 30 seconds of walking. And once the temperature gets up to 75 to 80 degrees, 15 seconds running and 15 seconds walking. So you really want to significantly reduce the amount that you're running and increase the walking. And if you feel heat buildup, but you don't really sense that it's dangerous, it could get dangerous. And so it's best to just walk and cool off. And then you may be able to drop back into a run, walk, run later on. But cool off. Make sure you cool off. Heat is dangerous.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I just want to reiterate that you said this exact same thing during your Run Disney talk at the Wine and Dine, and I made sure at every water stop that I certainly drank, but I took a cup of water and threw it over my head, down my back, all over the place, and it really helped out.
Evaporation, it doesn't happen very much in humid conditions, but whatever you're going to get will occur if you pour it over your head.
Yeah, that's great. Michelle Mullins has a quick question. What's the best way for someone who quit running to start up again?
Well, there's several things that are motivating. The first is a date on the calendar, such as the one of the Disney races or the Jeff Galloway 3.1, Barb Galloway 3.1, or Jeff Galloway 13.1. Those races that are fun really do motivate you because you not only want to be there that weekend, but you want to get out there and train so that you can communicate with the people in your community, like the Mickey Mallers and so forth. It's very motivating and it really does work. Secondly, you want to have a friend, if you can, to do this with. Now, because of many people's lifestyles, they really can't run with anybody, but you can have a lifeline, a friend that you can rely on to text or email or phone call. And when the motivation's low, you get in touch. And I hear stories every day among people that are able to stay motivated because of their friend, their mentor, their teammate. And they're able to really keep going because of that. And then when it comes to run, walk, run, you want to start by walking, build up to an easy walk of half an hour. And most people can really almost start out with an easy half-hour walk. And once you do that, then run for 5 to 10 seconds and walk for the rest of the minute. And once that's easy to do, which usually occurs within a week or so, you could maintain the 30 minutes and then go up to 10 to 15 seconds of easy running, and the rest of the minute walking. There's a real good book called Getting Started that I wrote that's been used by tens of thousands of people who are making that transition from getting back into walking and then running. And it's available on our website, jeffgalloway.com, autographed. And any questions that you have as you're reading that, you can email me at jeffgalloway.com.
The next question comes from Amanda Sue, and she says, what is your number one piece of advice for those of us running Dopey next month? I'm feeling confident for the 5K, the 10K, and the half, but want to make sure I can make it through the marathon, which will be my first, besides taking it easy on Saturday after the half. What should I be doing? Thanks so much.
Amanda Sue, you're not alone. I have already talked to dozens of people who are doing the Dopey, and a lot of those are doing the marathon as their very first marathon. Like all first-timers in the marathon, the whole key on the long runs is to go the distance, and you can walk the whole distance of those long ones that are on the schedule and still get the same endurance. So when in doubt, just walk those long ones, but get them in. And the biggest mistake that people make in a training program like that is they'll have a bad run, and they will have been doing some run, walk, run, and they hit a wall at mile 17 or 18, and so they just quit. Whereas if they had just continued to walk the rest of the distance, they would salvage that run and get all the endurance there. At this stage of the game, according to the Dopey schedule, there is one long weekend left. Now, some folks have amended the schedule a little bit, and they will be doing a long one next weekend, the weekend of the 12th, 13th, and then they'll be doing another one a couple of weeks before the race. But the bottom line is, on those long weekends, realize that the key to both the Dopey training and the Goofy training and also race weekend is to mostly walk the half on Saturday. That is the key. If you push the half too much, then you're going to struggle in the marathon, particularly if you're a first-time marathoner. You want to go into that marathon with as much resources as you can. So do all the distance on the schedule, 26-miler, 2 or 3 weeks before, and walk the day before for the 12-miler.
All right, moving right along. Sandy Hall wants to know, I will be run, walk, running the 10K and the marathon, my first, in January. And I've been following Jeff's plan posted on the Run Disney site. I'll also be doing the Glass Slipper Challenge in February. What would he recommend for training for February after completing the marathon? And I want to, she wants to add her age, and I was going to add it if she did not her age, but I know she's a grandmother of at least six. I'd like to add my age, 68, and the fact that it takes my body a full week to feel normal after a really long run, 18 plus miles. Short runs are slower and sometimes difficult the week following such a long run. I think it's not too bad that it takes a week after 18 plus miles, Sandy. But
yeah, that is true. However, I will say I have a number of eCoach clients and a lot of others that every week check in with me who are training for the long distance events these days, and particularly marathoners who are over 60. And the adjustment of the run, walk, run has been the single key that has allowed people to recover fast, certainly less than a week. But one of the little secrets here is to walk most of the long runs. You're going to get the same endurance. You will recover faster. Other people will do things like run for 10 seconds and walk for 50 seconds, 50. Others will run for 15 seconds and walk for 45 seconds. So if it's mostly walking on the long runs, you're going to find much quicker recovery, and you'll also have more motivation to push your way through the schedule.
The next question comes from Carolyn Kanzler, who says, what, if any, extra training should I add to Jeff's Pixie Dust Challenge training program if I'm also running the 5K? What paces should I aim in each of these three races? I usually run around a 2 hour and 15 minute half marathon. Tink will be my fifth half.
Well, as we know, those of us who have run the Disney races, they are crowded. All of the races are crowded, and there is a need to restrain your enthusiasm if you're running two or three of them. So that really does work. Just don't fight the crowds and move over to the side of the road. Take your liberal walk breaks on every single one of the races. And if you are easy enough on yourself for the first day or two, depending on how many of them you're doing, then you're going to feel fine on the half marathon. The reality is that I talk to dozens of people every week that are doing these multiple events. And surprisingly, a lot of them are beginners. And on the follow-up with these folks, they seldom have any problems if they follow the guidelines of liberal walking on long runs and then in the race itself to be very conservative with the run-walk-run ratios.
The next one is from Lonnie Gaines. Lonnie says, I'm about to start the Dark Side Challenge training plan that Jeff created, but I have to miss 3 or 4 training days in February due to dental surgery. What should I do to compensate for those missed training sessions? Continue with the next planned session or attempt to squeeze them in when I'm able to?
Well, I suppose since the dentists are usually not open on weekends, that those training sessions that are going to be missed are during the week, and they're just not as crucial as the long runs are. So as a result, if you miss 1 or 2 or 3 of those, it's really not a big deal if on the weekend schedule you simply walk what is set up there. And that walking is the default mode to be able to keep your endurance up there, even if you've had challenges during the week.
Next question comes from Corey McPherson, Jeff. And Corey says, once I complete my first half marathon, how should I maintain that level of fitness? What does a typical training plan look like after you reach your goal? I see more half marathons in my future, but not a full marathon, at least for now.
And that's fine. I will never try to drag anyone kicking and screaming into a marathon, but the half marathon has really taken on a life of its own over the last 10 years. My books, Half Marathon and also A Woman's Guide to the Half Marathon, have been bestsellers as a result of that. So if you're looking for a schedule and one that you could follow after your marathon to get back into it, those are really good books. Now, all of that said, what you need to determine after the first half marathon in a series of them is what distance do you want to maintain? And if you've got another half marathon that is a month or more in the ahead, then you would need to look at a countdown coming back from the next one. So the next half marathon date is on the calendar. 2 weeks before that would be the last long run, which would be my recommendation is 14 miles. And then 2 weeks before that could be 12 and a half or somewhere in that range. And then every 2 weeks back of that, you could schedule long ones that would be about a mile and a half less than the previous long run would be. And you could come back to the present there. But a lot of folks just like to stay in a range of 8 to 10 miles year-round these days. And that makes it easy to bump it up for a half marathon should it pop on the screen. And some folks even like to be running long runs that are longer than that, up around 12 miles, which makes it even easier to bump up to a half marathon. And so the idea is every other week you would do the long one, and you could really put as much walking as you want to in there, allowing the body to stay at a high level of endurance, but not out of commission at any point in time.
Terrific. All right, this is an easy one. It's a thank you. This is from Kim Smelzer. And she said, Jeff, I just wanted to say thank you. Since 2013, I've completed 19 half marathons, three of them Tinkerbells, and many other local races. I would have never thought I could do any of that if I had not found the run-walk-run method. I have had the pleasure of meeting you at the Tink races, and you're such an encouragement. Thank you.
Well, Kim, thank you, and the best part is ahead. I hear the stories of people over 10 years, 20, and now some cases 30 years, and it's all good. If you maintain the right run, walk, run, your body adjusts to it, adapts to it, and you get all those wonderful brain benefits, better attitude, more vitality, personal empowerment. Kim, you've got a lot to look forward to.
And runners make the best friends, don't they?
They do.
That takes care of part three of our four-part session with Jeff Galloway as he answers your questions. Please tune in next time as we finish up with Jeff Galloway, Run Disney Training Consultant. So for Jeff Galloway and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles Podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. And don't forget, if you have any questions, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.